Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 342.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 342. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your support as always. Thank you for listening. And this is a big, big week for me. If you've been listening and you're a consistent listener, you'll probably know why. I'm sure you know why. I've been dropping little hints, saying it in different places, but I am getting married. I'm getting married this Friday. So that's very, very exciting for me. And obviously a lot going on there. And I feel great. I feel like I'm in a really great place with Jazz Piano School. I love, 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 love the live programs that we've been running here because it allows me to interact with students more. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the membership. I love all the content, everything like that. But it's harder to really interact with students and get like a good, a vibe. Like I like feeling the connection between people, humanity, right? And in the virtual worlds, I think in the online space, it's harder to do that. And so these live programs I've been running really give me a good sense of fulfillment in my life. You know, it feels like I'm really making an impact, which is always nice, right? We want to feel like we have purpose and we're doing good in the world. Well, I guess not everyone, but I do at least. And so seeing people's gratitude and thankfulness for the results that they've seen from my teaching, from the Jazz Piano School programs, even from the membership. I mean, when I get people write in almost every single day just thanking me for the membership and the process and all the hard work. And I like keeping JPS like smaller in a way, you know, to a certain degree, like where it's not a big, huge, honking, like, corporation thing where you really don't hear from me. I mean, if you write in, like I write back a lot of times, you know, it's mainly me responding to people. And obviously if you're interested in any of the live programs, I will talk with you about that. So, you know, I'm available. Like, it's not like you can't get a hold of me or you got to go through three other people or four other people to get talk to someone. And some websites are like that. That's okay. I'm not blaming them for anything, but you know, it's a different vibe for sure. Right. And so anyway, I really like where I'm at with everything in life. I'm really looking forward to the start of this new journey. And so I'm excited. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about Sterling and Trent. They've been helping with the programs and teaching. They're amazing, amazing teachers. I'm so grateful to have them with Jazz Piano School and helping out the teaching of the students and different things like that with the live programs that I'm obviously involved in as well. Again, just to drop a little plug real quick, my two new live programs will be starting up in September. That will be my 9-month mastermind program and my accelerator program, which is 3 months. So the mastermind program, you get to study with me. So it's a much larger investment. And obviously it's 9 months instead of 3 months. The accelerator programs, you'd study with Trent or Sterling, fantastic teachers. Sterling has his master's from Manhattan School of Music in undergrad. I mean, like, these guys are just phenomenal gigging professional musicians. Even around town here and the places I've gone, like I don't hear the caliber of musician. Rarely do I hear a caliber of musician anywhere close to what Trent and Sterling have to offer. And they're very aligned with my philosophies, which is amazing. So I really just can't say enough about how proud and thankful I am to have them on the team. Anyway, in the accelerator program, you'd get to study with them and they've helped students make amazing progress. I'm also involved in the program to teach classes and things like that. So it really, really fantastic opportunities coming up real soon when the kind of year starts again, obviously in the summer. Everyone takes time off, which I think is a really, really good thing. I mean, we need a break. We need to kind of reset our mind and our focus. I'm really I'm really, what's the right word? I believe in that a lot, because when you're really in the thick of things, it's hard to feel what you actually feel. It's hard to think what you actually think. You really need some quiet time, some rest. You need to remove the distractions in your life to understand what direction you want to move in and what's important to you. You know, what is important to you? And a lot of times, like music, I've seen, okay, for students, is a very high priority. And if it's not, I would urge you to consider to making it a high priority, because music can stay with you for the rest of your life. There's not a lot of things that can do that, right? It can serve you in ways throughout the rest of your life that hardly anything else can. It's really the greatest investment. It's the greatest use of your money, right? To invest in things that make you happy, bring joy to you, to play music. I'm taking dance lessons with my fiance for the wedding. I've had an amazing time dancing. Like, it's so much fun. I like learning new moves. I feel like a kid again, like learning jazz piano. It's so much fun. And so we're doing a little bit of swing dancing. We didn't want to choreograph dance because I really wanted to feel the spontaneity of dancing, just like jazz piano. Obviously, you know, in jazz, we're getting to choose the movements and directions and colors and things we want. I love that. That's what I love about jazz. I wanted the same thing in dancing. So she's teaching us different moves and steps, and it's not unsimilar to different movements on the piano with your minor seventh chords or different bebop approaches or blues scales, right? It's like, oh, you can do this here, and then maybe you can go into this, or you can swap that around and go this way. It's awesome. I love it. So that investment, and I told Elizabeth, I was like, we got to keep doing this. I love this so much. And she's like, totally, I'm on board. This is so much fun, right? And so I'm willing to invest money in the dance lessons. Obviously, they're not cheap by any means. I mean, these days, like craft lessons, piano lessons, dance lessons, etc., that comes with a high investment because you're getting amazing education. You're getting incredible education for a specialty craft. And it really pains me and kills me when, like, restaurant or business owners or even students sometimes, I mean, they kind of balk at the price of stuff when it's it's just like the amount of money I've spent and other students, Trent, Sterling, other people, even you guys out there, to work on your craft, right? If you were to go and teach someone and you spent hundreds of thousands of dollars and put in tens of thousands of hours into your craft, and then for someone to say, oh no, like $100 isn't worth it to me. I thought it was going to be like $25. Like, what? Like, are you really? Like, are you kidding me? I mean, the highest level of quality comes with the price. And that's just when you want something of quality and craft and detail that's going to really push you and get you amazing results, you got to pay for it. So anyway, I've been thinking about these things in my mind with the dance lessons. I really enjoy it. I'm going to keep going with that. But again, to get back to my point, music is just such an amazing thing. Like, it's going to deliver, and you're going to reap the rewards from music for a lifetime, right? For the rest of your life, it's going to serve you. So I really do think it's the greatest investment you can make. It was the greatest investment I've ever made. Starting jazz piano school was the greatest decision I've ever made. It's fulfilling me in ways I never thought possible. And being a teacher, obviously, you learn something new every way. You connect with your students in different ways all the time. So anyway, that's what my plug is. The next time you'll hear from me, I will be a married man. You will see my ring in the videos from here on out. And yeah, that'll be kind of fun. But then, you know, everything will be back to normal. So today's episode is really fun. And when Sterling kind of presented this idea to me, he told me what he wanted to do. I thought it was really, really, really awesome, because a lot of students come to me and all teachers and say, how do we find our voice on the piano? How do we find our expressive voice? Because certain players sound the way they do. I mean, Oscar Peterson sounds like Oscar Peterson. Chick Corea sounds like Chick Corea. Herbie sounds like Herbie, right? And a lot of other great jazz giants sound the way they do because of their expressive voice, because they've fallen into this nature of expressing themselves through certain tools and skill sets on the piano that they use repetitively and consistently to create a sound that you recognize when you put albums on. It takes a little while to get used to that, but after a while, you do start to recognize the sound of specific players. So the episode today that you're going to get, the lesson, is going to be from Sterling. He's going to be going through a compositional exercise that's meant to find your voice and help improve your voice on the piano, the expressive voice. I thought this was brilliant. This is just an amazing idea. I tend not to do these episodes that much. I really love teaching the mechanics, the techniques, the nitty-gritty, meticulous, surgical details of jazz piano students, the systems, the data-driven methodology of jazz piano, because that's what I've never had. And I'm good at it. I know I'm good at it. I really enjoy breaking it down systematically. I love Sterling and Trent for the specific reason that they're going into more conceptual lessons like this. This is just so fantastic. I probably could afford to do more of this. I know that. I'm aware of it. But having them on staff to do these types of podcasts, it's absolutely fantastic. So I think that's it. I'll probably send some wedding photos out to my email list, to Jazz Piano School email list. If you want to check that out, you can. Obviously, you just got to get on the email list. Just go to the website. You can find many ways to do that just by downloading any of the books or signing up for the email list. But with that being said, let's dive right into this episode. Here we go.
What's up, everybody? This is Sterling here with another video lesson for jazzpianoschool.com. Today we're looking at finding your voice through composition, and you can do this with something as simple as a four-chord song. We hear four-chord songs all the time on the radio, whether it's Taylor Swift or Cardi B or any of your favorite artists, but as jazz musicians, we can take that and run with it and be creative through our improvisation. So we're going to start in the key of E minor, and this is a progression that I heard from a solo pianist by the name of Mark Copeland, and I liked the progression so much I decided to just steal it and write my own song with it. So the chords are as follows. First we have E minor 11, followed by C major 7, A minor 9, and G major 9. So how do you write a song using just four chords? Well, first you gotta figure out what key you're in. We know that we're in the key of E minor. So first thing I'm gonna do is get familiar with that key. And I like to explore over each one of these chords individually just to see what kind of notes I have available. To use my ear just to kind of figure out what sort of melodies are possible. So once I work my way through a chord progression like that, the next thing I'm going to do is bring in the tempo. So I've just got a basic swing beat, you know, that it's going to accompany me. But you know, you can change it up if you're hearing a different groove for your melody, whether it's like a funk groove or a, you know, gospel groove or an R&B groove. Anything can work. It can be any meter also. You could write something in 4/4 swing. You could write something in 3/4, more like a jazz waltz. Or even if you're feeling adventurous, you could explore like a different mixed meter, like 7/8 or 11/8. Today, I'm just going to stick with the basic swing beat because that's what I was hearing. So I'll get the groove going so that I can start to feel, you know, the music take shape. And usually I like to play the progression through a few times and hear the melody in my head. 1, 2, 3, 4. So let's try a few repetitions. Thank you. that's the melody that I came up with over this progression. Of course, there's a lot of room for experimentation here. You know, if you want to tweak the melody a little bit, you can always write it down and come up with some variation. You'll notice the first time I decided to go down to the A natural, but when I repeated the progression for the second time, I decided I wanted the melody to be different, so I went up instead. And I'm landing on the A natural because that's the minor 11th, and that sounds really good to my ear. I find that looking for chord tones to highlight over each one of these harmonies is a really great way to find good notes. So that will create the sound that I'm looking for. So far I have 8 bars. I played the 4-bar progression twice. So 4 measures times 2, that's 8 measures. But you know, I want the song to be a little longer. I don't want to just play 8 bars and then like solo over that, because that would be a little too one-dimensional. I want to have it go somewhere. So one way to create more interest in your compositions is to modulate or transpose to a different key. So we were in the key of E minor. So we can transpose that perhaps down to D minor. So instead of starting on E minor, we're gonna go down to D minor 11. That means our next chord would be B flat, followed by G minor, and F major. So I wonder where my melody is gonna go next once we modulate. So far we have something like that. Next, we're gonna go down to D minor. Something like that. So it could be something related to the first melody, or it could be something unrelated. You know, what if I wanted to make a phrase that sounded totally different? Instead of that, we could play something like that, maybe in the key of F like that, an F major melody. Something like that. And then I imagine I want to go back to E minor at some point, so we could say the form is going to be kind of like So What, right? Like we start in E minor for 2 A sections, and then we go to the bridge in D minor, down a whole step, and then back to the last A section in E minor, and maybe I just want to revisit the melody from the first time. And then we'll end on that note. So let's see what that sounds like. That's my game plan. Let's see how it goes. This is all about trial and error in composition. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's the whole form. I'm really pretty happy with how this melody turned out. It started with a chord progression, but then I found a little hook that I liked with just that first phrase, and then I came up with an answer, and the melody kind of spun from there as far as where it wanted to go naturally through that chord progression. And then we modulated into a bridge down a whole step in D minor, and I decided I wanted a completely different melody just for contrast, and then we came back to the original melody in the last A section when we modulated back to E minor. So that's how you can take a 4-bar chord progression and use some compositional tools to expand it into an entire tune, right? We went from 4 bars to times 4, that would be 16 bars. So now I have a 16 bar composition, and then I can improvise over it. You know, so I can get my swing beat going and just play the chords and improvise a little bit. So that's my tune. I hope you like it. I hope you use this technique to write your own tune, whether it's a four-bar tune or have more chords, you know, involved. If you have a suggestion for what you think I should title my tune, leave a comment in the description. But I wish you luck with your own compositional exploration. You know, there's four chord songs all over the place, but what would yours sound like? So enjoy, and as always, happy practicing. I'll see you next time.